Jessica and Richard walked down the street toward the restaurant. She had her arm through his and was walking as fast as her heels permitted. He hurried to keep up. Street lights and the fronts of closed stores illuminated their path. They passed a stretch of tall, looming buildings, abandoned and lonely, bounded by a high brick wall.
"You are honestly telling me you had to promise them an extra £50 for our table tonight? You are an idiot, Richard."
Jessica, dark eyes flashing, was not even slightly amused.
"They had lost my reservation, and they said all the tables were booked."
Their steps echoed off the high walls. "They'll probably have a sitting by the kitchen," sighed Jessica.
"Oh, or the door. Did you tell them it was for Mr. Stockton?"
"Yes," replied Richard. Jessica sighed. She continued to drag him along as a door opened in the wall a little way ahead of them, and someone stepped out and stood swaying for one long, terrible moment and then collapsed to the concrete. Richard shivered and stopped in his tracks. Jessica tugged him into motion.
"Now, when you're talking to Mr. Stockton, you must make sure you don't interrupt him or disagree with him. He doesn't like to be disagreed with. When he makes a joke, laugh. If you're in any doubt as to whether or not he's made a joke, look at me. I'll tap my forefinger."
They'd reached the person on the sidewalk. Jessica stepped over the crumpled form. Richard hesitated.
"Jessica?" "You're right. He might think I'm bored," she mused. "I know," she said brightly. "If he makes a joke, I'll rub my earlobe."
"Jessica?" He could not believe she was simply ignoring the figure at their feet.
"What?"
She was not pleased to be jerked out of her reverie.
"Look!"
He pointed to the sidewalk. The person was face down and enveloped in bulky clothes. Jessica took his arm and tugged him towards her.
"Oh, I see. If you pay them any attention, Richard, they'll walk all over you. They all have homes, really. Once she's slept it off, I'm sure she'll be fine."
"She?" Richard looked down. It was a girl. Jessica continued.
"Now, I've told Mr. Stockton that we..."
Richard was down on one knee.
"Richard, what are you doing?"
"She isn't drunk," said Richard.
"She's hurt."
He looked at his fingertips.
"She's bleeding."
Jessica looked down at him, nervous and puzzled.
"We're going to be late," she pointed out. "She's hurt."
Jessica looked back at the girl on the sidewalk. Priorities. Richard had no priorities.
"Richard, we're going to be late. Someone else will be along. Someone else will help her."
The girl's face was crusted with dirt, and her clothes were wet with blood.
"She's hurt," he said simply.
There was an expression on his face that Jessica hadn't seen before.
"Richard,"
she warned, and then she relented a little and offered a compromise.
"Dial 999 and call an ambulance then. Quickly now."
Suddenly the girl's eyes opened white and wide in a face that was little more than a smudge of dust and blood.
"Not a hospital. Please, they'll find me. Take me somewhere safe. Please."
Her voice was weak.
"You're bleeding,"
said Richard. He looked to see where she had come from, but the wall was blank and brick and unbroken. He looked back to her still form and asked,
"Why not a hospital?"
"Help me," the girl whispered, and her eyes closed. Again he asked her,
"Why don't you want to go to the hospital?"
This time there was no answer at all.
"When you call the ambulance," said Jessica, "don't give your name. You might have to make a statement or something, and then we'd be late, and I'm not having this evening ruined by..."
"Richard, what are you doing?" Richard had picked the girl up, cradling her in his arms. She was surprisingly light.
"I'm taking her back to my place, Jess. I can't just leave her. Tell Mr. Stockton I'm really sorry, but it was an emergency. I'm sure he'll understand."
"Richard,
Oliver Mayhew, said Jessica coldly. You put that young person down and come back here this minute, or this engagement is at an end as of now. I'm warning you.
Richard felt the sticky warmth of blood soaking into his shirt. Sometimes, he realized, there is nothing you can do. He walked away. Jessica stood there on the sidewalk, watching him ruin her big evening, and her eyes stung with tears. After a while, he was out of sight, and then, and only then, did she say, loudly and distinctly and unladylike, "Shit!" and fling her handbag as hard as she could onto the ground, hard enough to scatter her mobile phone and her lipstick and her diary and a handful of tampons across the concrete. And then, because there was nothing else to do, she picked them all up and put them back into her handbag and walked back down to the restaurant to wait for Mr. Stockton. Later, as she sipped her white wine, she tried to come up with plausible reasons why her fiancé was not with her, and found herself wondering desperately whether or not she could simply claim that Richard was dead. It was very sudden, said Jessica, wistfully, under her breath. Richard did not, at any point on his walk, stop to think. It was not something over which he had any volition. Somewhere in the sensible part of his head, someone, a normal, sensible Richard Mayhew, was telling him how ridiculous he was being, that he should have just called the police or an ambulance, that it was dangerous to lift an injured person, that he had really, seriously, properly upset Jessica, that he was going to have to sleep on the sofa tonight, that he was spoiling his only really good suit, that the girl smelled quite dreadful. But Richard found himself placing one foot in front of the other, and, arms cramping and back hurting and ignoring the looks he got from the passers-by, he just kept walking. And after a while, he was at the ground floor door of his building, and he was stumbling up the staircase, and then he was standing in front of the door to his flat and realizing that he had left his keys on the hall table inside. The girl reached out one filthy hand to the door, and it swung open. Never thought I'd be pleased that the door hadn't latched properly, thought Richard, and he carried the girl in, closing the door behind him with his foot, and put her down on his bed. His shirt front was soaked in blood. She seemed semi-conscious. Her eyes were closed but fluttering. He peeled off her leather jacket. There was a long cut on her left upper arm and shoulder. Richard caught his breath. Look, I'm going to call a doctor, he said quietly. Can you hear me? Her eyes opened wide and scared. Please, no. It'll be fine. It's not as bad as it looks. I just need sleep. No doctors. But your arm, your shoulder. I'll be fine. Tomorrow? Please? It was little more than a whisper. I suppose... All right. And with sanity beginning to assert itself, he said, Look, can I ask? But she was asleep. Richard took an old school scarf from his closet and wrapped it firmly around her left upper arm and shoulder. He did not want her to bleed to death on his bed before he could get her to a doctor. And then he tiptoed out of his bedroom and shut the door behind him. He sat down on the sofa in front of the television and wondered what he had done.